The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right. 11 minutes after 9, 866-660-5759. You know, I haven't talked a whole lot about the Papa John thing because nothing good can come of this. I will not be ensnared in that. Don't you worry. But I think it is best settled with everyone just understanding. In fact, there's a recurring theme this week. It's a recurring theme. It is not the world you wish it was. It is not the society you wish it was. The society I wish we had involves a blanket understanding that white people never get to use the N-word, like ever. Occasional black folk might throw it around to each other as a term of endearment. Okay, but I'll tell you why. That's very generational, because your African-American gentlemen of a certain age, or the ladies of maybe any age, they got no use for that. They will scold their sons. What are you doing throwing N-bombs around? You know, when your father and I were called that on the streets of fill in the blank of almost any American city. So, and good for them. Good for them. But so that's just what the rules are. Are they uneven? Do they make sense? Is it unfair? But live it, learn it, and go with it. So this memo apparently did not get to John Schnatter. He is Papa John. Now, the reason this story grows ever weirder today is that the story came out. And as I told Fox 4 this morning, when I first heard the story, Papa John's chairman, the founder, you know, is in trouble for, using the N-word in a conference call. Lord, did he call somebody one? I mean, stepping down? I mean, how terrible must this be? And then I realized, nope, it's another one of these. It's another one of these. And by that, I mean someone used the term, white guy used the term, in a manner descriptive of somebody else using the term, as in, hey, Bill just called Tom. Well, you don't get to do that either. And is that stupid? Of course it is. But you don't get to do that either. And I don't make the rules. If I do, they would make sense. Society kind of makes them. And if society is driven by the occasional odd instinct, if we've taken the very noble sensitivity that says don't call anybody that or even use it colloquially, okay, everybody can live with that. And I understand that. But you have to realize that if you're just, a white guy and you're sitting around and referring to something historically or something you think happened or know happened and you happen to throw it in and actually say it, that's going to blow up in your lap. So don't do that. So what's the new angle today? John Schnatter resigned as chairman last week. He admitted and apologized for using the racial slur, using, not calling somebody, just making a reference to it in a declarative sentence during a conference call. Let me tell you, you may be walking around going, what exactly happened? Well, I'm going to tell you. And then we can figure out, to what degree this guy ought to be hung out to dry, if at all. His point is that he feels like he was railroaded into resigning, that the furor and gasping fits of last week have subsided, And now it's like, wait a minute. Shouldn't I have maybe been able to like apologize for some tone deafness and get on with my life? Well, I don't know if that's America 2018. So here we go. And what has happened is his likeness is being removed from the marketing and packaging of Papa John. His name is getting yanked off of, is there some facility named after him? Not anymore. Various advertising campaigns are getting canceled as if he had used the term pejoratively against someone himself. But what did happen? Mr. Schnatter, Papa John, was on a call with a marketing agency called the Laundry Service.
Clever.
And you know when this was? This was a couple months ago. I love when things that happen and they just marinate for a couple of times and finally somebody goes, oh, look what happened 10 weeks ago. It was May, and you remember the thing that got him in trouble earlier? And this was really stupid. He said that NFL ratings were down, and with Papa John's being such a strong advertiser in the NFL, that maybe his actual business, that he felt like maybe his actual business, his actual brand, was being hurt by all the ridiculous NFL kneeling during the anthem. Now, you can either find that refreshingly insightful or ridiculously contrived, whatever. But he caught holy you-know-what for that. So he was talking about that, and I guess he was on, you know, with the marketing company. They were doing some kind of role-playing exercise to prevent future PR fumbles. And he, at one point, his point was that the sensitivity today is crazy, and the example, the oversensitivity, as he views it, is crazy. And his observation, don't drive the car off the road. This is not. Wow, look at the time. No. His assertion was, in marketing history, he said, hey, Colonel Sanders, right? KFC, Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders called black people, and he never faced a public backlash. Now, is that stupid? First of all, is that true? I don't know. Is that a stupid observation to make? Probably, because nobody knew it till now. You know, I don't ever remember any KFC campaigns from the 1970s going, hey, I'm Colonel Sanders. And all kinds of people love my chicken. Well, I'm not even going to play that little theater of the mind. But I have zero memory of that. So, you ready? After Mr. Schnatter saying that he was, quote, just talking the way the colonel talked. Oh, my gosh, when you're in the hole, stop digging. Along comes Colonel Sanders' grandson, Trig Adams, told the Louisville Courier-Journal that it is an absolute lie that the colonel ever used the racial slur or any other racially offensive words. Quote from Colonel Sanders' grandson, Trig Adams, about Papa John. He's a weasel, Adams said about Schnatter. Because he's prejudiced, he's trying to say somebody else was, too. Whoa, wait, whoa, back off, son. What? The colonel had absolutely no prejudice against anybody. Colonel died, like 1980. Donated to more than 20 million in charities, donated to black churches. There's no reason whatsoever to believe that Colonel Sanders had a racism thing going. I have no idea whether Colonel Sanders might have dropped an N-bomb in his life in 1958. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. There's a very big Louisville thing because both Papa John's and the owner of KMC, an outfit called Yum, Y-U-M, Yum, Yum Brands, are based in Louisville. And, so there we are. Now, but even there's Mr. Adams, and maybe Mr. Adams has his backup because Papa John was talking smack about his granddaddy, because he's prejudiced. He's trying to say somebody else was too. I don't know that John Schnatter has a racist bone in his body. I don't know. Is there any evidence that he does? I'm not aware of any. So my every inclination, my perfect world inclination, or too late now, I guess, because he's you know, packed his crap and he's down the road, is that maybe you need to pay some attention to whether somebody is actually using this pejorative, hurtful term towards somebody or simply making a reference about it, about somebody else's usage of it back in the day. That difference should matter. But you know what? It doesn't in many corners. And so, as I wrap this up, move to your calls on various things, you can't presume the field is striped the way you wish it were. You have to walk onto and engage on the field that is striped the way it is. Sensitivities, even oversensitivities, ill-placed sensitivities of various types, they exist. And you could walk around through life pretending they don't, and it will not work out well for you. You can speak frankly about all kinds of things. I mean, look what I do for a living. Without walking into any of these bear traps. And it's a good idea to develop a skill set to do that. All right, right now it's a good idea to take a brief pause, and then an even better idea to come back and start taking your calls. So let's do those things. 866-660-5759, Mark Davis, 922. It's a fashion label, that older man, $1 million a year. From News of the World, Brian May of Queen on the guitar and the vocal, Sleeping on the Sidewalk. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Davis, M-A-R-K Davis. Oh, let's let him wrap up. Sleeping on the sidewalk, rolling down the road. News of the World, 1978, is the album that has We Will Rock You and We're the Champions and blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you something. There's really not a chunk of it that I can bring you here on the show that would be less than a minute or two long. Maybe pound for pound, one of my favorite Queen records ever. I know Bohemian Rhapsody. I know a thing called It's Late from News of the World. It is easily 6.5 minutes of greatness by Freddie Mercury, of course, by Brian May. And John Deacon and Roger Taylor, but News of the World probably my quintessential Queen album. Brian May is 71 years old today. Already 866-660-5759. We're in Dallas. Jason, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Doing good, Mark. Hi. Love the show.
Thank you. Listen, have
you heard about the Coupon Carl? He is the latest in these incidences where we have white people that are calling cops on black folks.
I have. Let me take 20 seconds, help, and then I want to know what you have to say about it. First of all, everybody has been noticing, you know, the white apartment complex manager called the cops on a black guy wearing socks in the pool. White woman calls the police on the 8-year-old black girl selling water. One of the most recent ones of these involves a guy at CVS, and a woman comes into the CVS store and presents a coupon. I saw the coupon. It looks very sketchy, but I don't know that it is. I don't know. And it seems like something you should be able to wrap up pretty easily. What winds up happening is the CVS employee, the guy, looks like a guy who's maybe 45 or 50, is just shaking like a leaf in the breeze. And he's calling the cops, for God's sake. It's another one of these toxic stories that has all the appearances of white people freaking out in the middle of black people just doing fairly normal things. It has not been a healthy thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, so well, the coupon is very sketchy. It's not, I mean, I totally did the research on the coupon. It was for adult undergarment diapers. She was trying to get a full package of them free of charge, $17.99 in value. But what the video doesn't show us, Mark, is how she was harassing the manager, including going back to the management office and knocking on the door. The video is very one-sided because she had just as much to do with this. She was being harassing and just as much as part of the problem as he was.
I completely believe that. And yet here's the thing. I mean, for example, the little girl selling water. Oh, it's just a little girl selling water. Guess what? You don't get to do that. You know, the ISIS is going to put arsenic in water and sell it on the way to a sporting event. You don't get to do that, even if it's just the cutest little 8-year-old girl. So, but here's where you have to balance things out. Is going to the Met, choosing to die on that hill, worth it? And I guess if I'm the CVS manager and there is a lady and she's trying to pass a bogus coupon on me and it looks dicey and I'm not going to accept it, I am very calmly and with all resolve going to say, ma'am, I'm sorry, I can't take the coupon. In my judgment, it's either not real or your attempt to change the terms of it is not going to fly. And I'm really, really sorry. And I can show you to a manager or I can give you the email address of my management. But I'm sorry, I'm just not going to accept the coupon. I'm glad you're in my store. I welcome your business and I respect you. But this is a problem and this coupon is not going to be used right now in this store. And that's what you do. And that's what you do. Under no circumstances do you flip and call 911.
Very good. Very good, sir.
Okay. I wish I could just run the world. All right. Thanks, man. That could be problematic. 932. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 932. Here is Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. Oh, yeah. You don't exactly get the thick Scottish brogue when Alan Gorey of the Average White Man says, I want you to give me some sugar now. Would it be wild if they just sang in full Scottish brogue at all times? I'd like for you to give me some sugar, lass. I can't do it. I got no power. Every Scottish person turns into James Doohan. My crazy world. Anyway, Alan Gorey, a founding member, guitarist, bassist, songwriter of the Average White Band. So I've got him on the show in 1995, early 2000s. Here's the deal. Way before Apple Music, before everything was instantly downloadable before, and didn't Mark Cuban and Broadcast.com or something have something to do with Napster? Remember Napster and everybody was freaking out about Napster. I was conflicted about Napster because it gave me, all right, first of all, how do I have every song recorded since the beginning of time at my instant disposal? Answer is, Apple Music. I can't say enough about it. For $15 a month, I mean, I used to spend $15 a month downloading. I used to spend $40 a month downloading albums. What? Gretchen Carlson actually had an album a couple of years ago that's awesome? Well, then I need that. Bam, $9.99. What? There's a new retrospective of the career of Graham Nash, of Crosby, Stills, Nash called Over the Years. That's $27.99. Boom, boom. So it was, that turned into some money. I used to joke about this and playing all the bumper tunes and stuff you've never heard. I said, this is an expensive show to listen to because you're going to be running out and buying albums and stuff. So Apple Music, $14, $15.99, something like that, and you just have everything. You don't own it, but what difference does that even make anymore? Who's got CDs? Everything's in my iTunes. And so the fact of whether it's something I've downloaded that I have at my instant disposal, it's not like it's tangible, or if it's just immediately download. So it's a distinction without a difference. So that's how I – so, and by the way, and that money that I pay – is what goes into some big pool, one presumes, so that the artist's music is not in fact stolen. You have in fact bought it, just as if you had gone into a store and bought a CD in 2002, or bought a an 8-track in 1977, or a cassette in 1972, or a big black circle of vinyl in 1963, or last week because vinyl is back. But Napster was file sharing, and also known as giving folks stuff for free and they don't have to pay for it. So I'm doing a music heavy show down the dial at the prior station, 02, 03, whatever year it was. It was before the crazy revolution that we have now. And so I thought, I mean, there it is. And it's not like finding a dollar on the street where if there's only that $1, you pick it up and it actually belongs to someone else. So, you know, I mean, if it's a dollar, you probably do it. But if you find a 20 in front of a restaurant, I mean, what do? Do you kind of run into the restaurant, give it to them in an envelope and say, look, if somebody thinks they lost a 20, this is theirs. I would probably do that. Maybe I'm an idiot. I don't know. A buck, it's mine. moral relativity. So Napster, I'd fire up the computer and there's like a zillion songs and they're free. What am I supposed to do? So the answer was simple. I played them. And I'm not really losing sleep at night over this. It seemed like I really ought to be buying music so that the artists are compensated for this. And I felt that voice talking to me. I felt that that voice talking to me. It's like, Mark, you realize that artist has 12 Bentleys in the garage and will not be eating dog food just because you are playing a free copy, you know, of a Van Halen record right now. Don't sweat it. That's the devil talking. That is the psychology of a thief. So I swore off Napster because I just didn't seem like the right thing to do. And then everything else got invented and it's all fine now. So I have Alan Gorey of The Average White Band on. And every time I would have the occasional musical guest, I enjoy asking about their craft, but also talking about the business and the music business, which was already so enormously changing in terms of album sales and concert sales and the fact that radio, that actual music on the radio had already given way to file sharing and the early, you know, world of the internet and stuff. And so I asked him, is it changing the way? I mean, The Average White Band had its heyday some 20-ish years earlier, but they were still touring, obviously. That's why he was on the show. And I asked if they were feeling a financial hit from all kinds of people downloading, you know, Cut the Cake and Pick Up the Pieces and Person to Person and various Average White Band classics from, you know, 1974, 75, 76. And I will share his quote. I will turn the S word into scoot. Okay. I will turn it into scoot. So I said, so Alan, are you noticing? I mean, back in the day when I was buying all those wonderful Average White Band albums, I'd walk into a store and I would buy them and it would be $7.98 and you'd get a certain cut of that. And that's what I'm guessing made you guys fairly lucrative there back in the day. How does that even work? I mean, with such things as Napster, is this something that is good news for you because more people hear your music, or is it bad news for you because it cuts into your financial pie? And he replied to me, Mark, I'll tell you, when you have something like the technology that's involved in the world and you're out on your tour and you're just trying to do stuff, you're trying to make music, you're trying to do what you do, and you're trying to do it with some level of craft, you just don't find yourself lying awake at night worrying that some 21-year-old is downloading Scoot off Napster. I think he extended the R that long. I'm not sure. I know I've gone full Craig Ferguson at this point. Downloading Scoot off Napster. It was just fun hearing him say Napster. So the first thing that occurs to me, if it's a call, and this happens so rarely, because I think you all know the digital delay exists, and anything profane that you say is not, in fact, going to reach the air. But I thought, wow, that was such a wonderful quote. But I hit the dump button on him. And then after we were done, I retold the story and I said, you may have lost about 7 seconds of Alan's answer to me. Here's what he said, edited version. So, you'll never have the 3 minutes of that story back. I apologize. 866-660-5759. You know what? Since I'm usurping your time with all kinds of off topic. Is there such a thing as off topic on this show? No, everything is a topic. So here's what I'm going to do. Let me share something with you. And being me, I think you'll know that eventually I was going to get to this. And you know I will tomorrow. 1 year from now, the world will be observing, celebrating paying attention, one hopes, to the 50th anniversary of one of, if not the most, amazing thing mankind has ever done. One of the most amazing moments in the history of humankind. Next year, at this time, will be the 50th anniversary of man's first footprints on the moon.
Yeah, Margaret, here he goes.
So that means that this year is the 49th anniversary of all of that. Tomorrow, I'm going to play you some audio, stuff you've heard, and maybe some things that maybe you haven't thought about or heard about. Just, I'm not going to take up the entire show with this. Please, are you kidding? Who can do that? Who knows what may happen in the news tomorrow? But as you recall, about 10 years ago, we had this wonderful symposium at the Frontiers of Flight Museum. And it was my opportunity, I can't even talk, I'm so taken by this moment, to meet Neil Armstrong, to meet Buzz Aldrin, and a number of other Apollo astronauts with my now friend, I can't believe I'm saying this, my friend Walt Cunningham, who was on the crew. He's the sole surviving crew member of the first Apollo mission, Apollo 7, in October of 1968. Here come the 50th anniversaries of all these flights leading up to Apollo 11 next year. And Walt has thrown together a wonderful thing at the Frontiers of Flight Museum in October, here in a couple of months, and I'm going to be a part of that, and I'm going to tell you about it, and you got to go, okay? But if you'd asked me that I would ever have the chance to shake the hand of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, I said, you're crazy. And about a decade ago, it happened. And I'm emceeing this panel discussion featuring them. Are you kidding me? I'll have a couple of excerpts of that on tomorrow's show. Because tomorrow, July 20th, is the 49th anniversary of the landing of the Lunar Module Eagle in the Sea of Tranquility. And that first footprint a little before 10 Central Time, Texas Time. I was in Eastern Time, a little before 11 at the time. One small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. So the reason I mention this today is I want you to wake up tomorrow and think about that. Because 49 years ago today, the world felt a unity like we may not have hardly felt since. Unbelievable anticipation. As yes, it was three Americans. Of course it was. That made me proud. It was three human beings striking out into the cosmos to plant footprints on another world. What an amazing thing. Got you thinking a lot about man, thinking a lot about God, in my case, thinking a lot about what we are capable of doing. It's an amazing thing. And 49 years ago today, the nation stood in rapt attention in anticipation of that great moment. So keep that in your head a little bit today. 9:50, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m., The Answer. Before there was Another One Bites the Dust, there was this. Everybody gonna have a good time tonight. On the Jazz album from Queen, 1977. Fun It. Everybody gonna have a good time tonight, time tonight, time tonight. Roger Taylor and Freddie Mercury, of course. But on the guitar, of course, Brian May, 71 years old today. So it's kind of a fun track. We'll let it take us out today and into the 150-degree heat. Everybody stay cool. Watch out for each other, all right? For producer Rhonda K. Moreland, follow her on Twitter, at producer Rhonda K., capital R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Shane Bell, the Shane Bell Band, twisting the knobs in here, making everything sound right. ShaneBellBand.com, Shane Bell Band, Facebook, and Twitter. And news ace Gordon Griffin. I'm Mark Davis. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Have a fantastic day. Keep cool. See you tomorrow. We'll celebrate Friday on 6:60 a.m. The Answer.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.